From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. We got a huge show for you early February, right, David? Lots going on. We're going to go over, we did over-unders of every team in the Big Ten for their regular season. Before the season started, we're going to go back and look and see how we did. It was pretty meh, which is kind of the theme of this podcast anyway, which is cool. We're going to look at the Big Ten schedule release and also some coordinator switches, some Big Ten players that are going to be prominent in the upcoming Super Bowl on Sunday. So a lot to get to. If you have questions or comments, BigTenCast@gmail.com is our email address. We got a few emails to get to. You can also call or text us at 424-532-0678. I think we got a text, no voicemails this week, so we need to hear from you guys. Tweet us at B1G Podcast, and then on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star rating, which we love. Leave us a review on Apple. You can leave comments on Spotify. Do we have any new reviews, David?
We do, but I want to make a note, and this is an important one. I had no idea the Super Bowl was this weekend.
Really?
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
You have it?
This is it.
Are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
I think so.
Okay.
But this is the first I'm hearing of it. Anywho.
So you're watching like children's stuff all the time?
No, not really. I haven't watched an NFL game all year.
But you're going to watch Super Bowl, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Who's in it?
Seattle and New England.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of Big Ten in Seattle, not so much in New England.
Interesting. All right. Fat Husky says, 5 stars. Keep up the mediocre work, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Fat Husky.
PDX T-Rex says, I've been listening to this podcast since Larry Scott. Yeah, so I've been listening to this podcast since 2021. My first listen was the announcement of Larry Scott being fired. For those who don't know, years ago, there used to be a West Coast-based athletic conference. It was mostly average at football, but elite at the sports that really matter, like beach volleyball. As an aside, we had 7 TV channels covering sports like tumbling and swimming, but no one knew that because most people believed the Pac-12 channels were just a myth, since there was no way to verify with your own eyeballs that the channels existed. This was born out of Larry Scott's genius vision to build up the Pac-12's reputation as a conference of champions. It has taken me years to realize this, but this show is truly mediocre, and the only reason I listened to it is because I needed to find something to teach my 7-year-old bad words, and this does the trick while also being slightly entertaining. But honestly, groceries are expensive and I need the gift card. Writing this review is a new low I've sunk to so I can get money to buy my son organic granola. And I've done some heinous things in my day, like watch 2022 Colorado football games. Championships only valid in non-revenue sports and for basketball titles that won back when TV was still broadcast in black and white. That's the asterisk to the Conference of Champions. I read this out of order. Anyway, that was a very good review, PDX T-Rex. Do we still have a gift card?
I think we do. So Webfoot was saying that he never got his, and I thought I sent one, but he emailed the Big Ten inbox, which we don't check unless we're actually recording. So I told him to email it, but I think I have one more, so email me, ryan@uscfootball.com. Give me your snail mail, and I will send you the gift card. So, yeah, Webfoot was talking about, like, jockey gift cards, which I miss. I miss the jockey gift cards. We should reach out to them and see what's going on. We're live on YouTube, although we don't have that many people on YouTube. What's going on here? Noon on a Tuesday, you're not ready for some live off-season Big Ten football talk?
Some bullshit, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's all right. Maybe David set it up wrong. I don't know, but it looks like we're live. So want to let everyone know, it is the Super Bowl this weekend. We're going to talk about some of the Big Ten teams in the Super Bowl. Our friends over at MyBookie can help you out. You want to get some bets going over there? It's the best time to do it. If you haven't signed up yet, you can use our promo code POC. Jump on in there. So many bets, David, you can bet. Do you want to bet how long the national anthem is?
I do.
Over-unders of all kinds of stuff. Of course, you can bet the game. You can bet the line. I think the last line I looked at was like 4.5 or 5, something like that. Seattle's favored over New England, but go in, check it out. And the best thing is, if you haven't signed up before, use the promo code POC, like I said, and you'll get a bet back bonus token. What does that get you? That gets you a free bet. So if you get it wrong, you get your money back and you get to try again. It's a free reload, and that's with our promo code POC. So many big bets this weekend, so this is a great time to get in there. Try it out. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, especially at the Super Bowl, at my bookie.
Beautiful read.
Thanks. Again, improv'd. Oh, Scott's in the chat. So we have some people. I was like, where is the chat working? Because there weren't people in there. He's ready. Scott's ready. Kyle is here. I'm committed to this pod, as Damon Williams is to his team.
So Kyle was looking for anything else, anything at all, and we actually sued him to come back. Is that right? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah.
Cool.
We got a what's up, boys. Yes, I was talking to a Washington buddy at dinner the other night, and it's just like, how's this going to work, you know, if you just like abandon your team and
super well
come back? I'm sure it's going to go swimmingly. But David, I guess we were talking about Super Bowl. You want to jump into that real quick since you don't even know that it's happening?
Yeah, sure.
I'll inform you who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. It's this weekend, Super Bowl 60 LX. It's going to be up in, do you know where it is, David? They used to have the Big Ten, the Pac-10 championship games there. Pac-12.
It's up at Levi's Stadium?
Yeah.
Hey.
Very good. So it'll be up there. On the Seattle side, you got Kenneth Walker. Remember him? Running back, Michigan State. He was an absolute stud.
Sure.
Jackson Smith and Jigba led the
nation. Yeah.
Wide receiver, Ohio State. He led the league in receiving yards this year.
Mm-hmm.
From Illinois, Devon Witherspoon, the cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Darnold. Yeah.
Did you just say Sammy?
Sammy Darnold.
Wow.
Darnold. You could say it, whatever. USC. Of course, he wasn't with the Big Ten when he played at USC, but whatever. Boye Mafe, the Minnesota edge rusher. I think that's how you say his name. And Nick Calerup, the tight end from another Minnesotan, On New England, all you have, another Minnesotan, Jack Gibbons is a linebacker from Minnesota. So, yeah. So there's some offensive stars for Seattle are all Big Teners. Wide receiver, running back, and quarterback.
Exciting.
So, yeah. Pretty good stuff. Other newsy things going around. I know you guys did. So Bob Chesney.
Bob Chesney. Bob Chesney.
Chesney. I said Chesney.
I was trying to do a fun thing, but then I didn't do it. I still said Bob, but then I went Chebney, and I was trying to do Boz Chebney. I can't do it. He's got a tough name to do.
It's a tough name to make fun of, but you guys, so I have a, you
know. Chob Besney?
Yeah.
There we go.
I saw that you had an exclusive
interview
with him and the new general manager.
Yes.
How did that go?
It was good. We got an interview. So they've been super busy, hired in December, and it's been, I mean, if anybody knows the calendar, it's been nonstop since then. Transfer portal, then followed by immediately out on the road recruiting. So we actually caught them. Literally, they were walking back in the building after being essentially gone for like six straight days. We got them as they were walking back in the building for about half an hour. It was really good. They've just been all over the place. They still haven't, like a lot of these guys still haven't moved their families out. They still don't have houses. Just kind of doing this for like 2 months straight. It's pretty nuts.
Too busy, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I echo kind of what I said previously. He did his appearance with us. He was at the Bruin Bash before the basketball game talking to some alumni. He appeared at the basketball game on Saturday, kind of his big intro day. If he doesn't work, like if this doesn't work, we really do have to investigate whether UCLA was built on, you know, like a Native American burial ground or something. Like if there is a pet cemetery somewhere in the sculpture garden or something that has cursed this thing. Because he's got the track record. He's got the juice. Like if this doesn't work, nothing's going to work, guys. Just pack it up.
So you're expecting, since, you know, Kirk Cignetti came from JMU, is it going to be a 27-2 first two seasons? Is that what we're expecting?
Yeah, I think so.
27-2?
Well, I mean, conservatively, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure why you're projecting they're going to lose a couple, but yeah, okay. Yeah. I think if you want to set a baseline, sure, 27-2.
All right, like Cignetti.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wow. I guess it was just slow. There was like a slow wake up in the chat. Now we got going. Our buddy Matthew.
He has this to say. He gave us first $10. Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Love you guys. Basketball question for David.
Oh, geez.
What are your thoughts on Cronin's constant interruptions of reporters during press conferences? It is infuriating / beyond rude. I typically don't mind it. And the reason I don't mind it is because I think most of the time, so he does it pretty constantly. And most of the time, I would say it's more in the realm of like conversation. He's generally like having a conversation with the reporters as they're interviewing him. And like when Ryan and I are having a conversation, we cut each other off. Like sure. It's part of the natural.
You more than me, but yes.
Me more than you. But that's because I've got so many interesting things to say and I have to say them, Ryan. And they're more important. Yes. All right. You understand?
Yes.
I'm sure there's a little bit of that going on too. But also I think it's just, you know, kind of natural form of conversation. In post game situations, especially when he's mad, it comes off very differently. And I think for him, it would really, really be beneficial to him. And I think the program, if he just took like an extra 10 minutes before coming out to talk to the media after games, I don't know how long it takes him to cool off, but like he just comes in so hot and mad oftentimes. And some of it I think is calculated, but some of it is just, I'm pissed off and I'm going to take it out on the first person I see.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think as like a conversational pattern, I don't get too excited when people interrupt me. But as like a, well, if you're just going to be a jerk about it, then yeah, I kind of do mind that you interrupt me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. He does. He just seemed like a kind of a little bit of a hothead, but whatever.
Yes,
happens. Kyle Whittingham, we got introduced. I don't know if we did this before, but you're coming over as Michigan's head coach. That's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, it will be.
I mean, 100% going to be fun to watch. Of course, Matt Campbell, he gets introduced at Penn State. So much fun. And then one of your favorite hires, David Woods, Pat Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Taking over for, a POC favorite over the years, Jonathan Smith.
Correct.
But just super, super crash and burn at Michigan State. But Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah, he's going to suck real bad.
I know you're not a big fan of that. I know
I'm just a fan of objective reality, and I know what objective reality is coming for.
Yeah. Speaking of Northwestern, your friend and pal, Chip Kelly, the OC there.
Are we just going over old news now? What are we doing?
Some stuff that's happened. Danton Lynn, Penn State. You got Gary Patterson.
Perry Gatterson.
Hall of Famer, former TCU head coach, USC's DC.
The latest high-quality defensive coach thrown into the Lincoln Riley grist mill. Yeah. You're going to come out, Gary, running a 75-ranked defense.
He had like a 40-minute presser we got to listen to.
So exciting. It's so exciting. Who had the like really long presser last spring that got everyone excited? Was it Rob Ryan? Who was
Rob Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, Rob Ryan. And everyone was like, oh my God, it's going to be great.
And I think he's
and then
he's getting demoted, I think.
Yeah, and then they had the exact same defense they always have because Lincoln Riley sucks.
Actually, the linebackers got worse. Arthur Smith, my Steelers, he's going to the Ohio State Buckeyes to call plays. They had a lot of success last year bringing in a NFL guy. They're going to try that again, David.
Cool.
And then your Illini, this is actually fairly new news. Aaron Henry, defensive coordinator there. I think he played at Wisconsin. He's going to Notre Dame. So Notre Dame poached him. So Illinois will be looking for a new defensive coordinator. So I thought we'd just give a little cleanup of some of the stuff. Kyle says Northwestern's new stadium looks amazing. I got to see it. The old one was kind of cool. I mean, the temporary one, that was like a neat thing. Someone wants us to rank the hires of the Big Ten. I will do that. Maybe we'll do that later. I'll star that. Maybe we'll get back to that. Do you want to do schedule first or do you want to do our over-unders first?
I think the news is probably more exciting for people, so why don't we start with the schedules?
Okay. I'm going to throw out the schedule on there. Going through, I had to count. There are 18 teams in this conference, David. Did you know that?
I didn't know
There's a whole lot. This is a year with only one bye week, but USC is going to get two because they have the Notre Dame game that's no longer there, and they're going to play a to-be-determined Week 0 game against a group of five school, a group of six school now. But yeah, we put the, if you're watching on YouTube, put the schedule up on the screen. You know, some initial quick thoughts, like Northwestern has a Week 2 bye week, which kind of stinks. Everybody else is between Week 5 and Week 10, which makes a little more sense. I think Rutgers is the only team that doesn't have a West Coast trip. So that's kind of cool for Rutgers. You know, like Illinois is going to UCLA. Indiana, they're going to Washington. That's going to be kind of fun. I always got to go to Washington too. But there's a lot of West Coast trips except for Rutgers. We knew Wisconsin had like the toughest schedule last year. And even though they got Notre Dame in week one, it's a much more manageable schedule looking down there, not seeing any. There's no Ohio State. There's no Indiana. There's no Michigan. There's no Oregon. So Wisconsin, you got a chance, right, to get things rolling there. So I don't know. Did anything kind of stand out to you, Mr. Woods?
What's USC's record outside of this time zone again? Since they went over to the Big Ten?
They won a couple this year, but they won at Nebraska, they won at Purdue, but it was bad before that. It was like,
how many of their road games have are they moving at least two time zones away?
Let's see. So
I think it's I think it's four of the five.
Yeah, there's the other one is a trip to Penn State, trip to Madison, Wisconsin. A trip to Indiana. Are they any good? I haven't seen them lately.
I haven't seen them play games.
And then they're going to
Rutgers.
UCLA. Oh, yeah, Rutgers to start. They have a week.
And then at home, I mean, obviously, okay, that's a tough slate, and, you know, they could lose a lot of those games. But, like, at home, they must have gotten there's some easy games on there, right? Like, it's,
Well, there's defending national champion, and then you got Oregon and Ohio State.
So okay.
They were also.
So when Lincoln Riley was avoiding Notre Dame, his plan was avoiding Notre Dame is the way I go 7-5 instead of 6-6, right?
Well, they were 9-3. So.
Yeah.
Like do you
remember what the schedule looked like this year compared to this one?
Yeah. Not as good.
Yeah.
So it'd be good. What do you think of Kenny Chesney's first schedule?
Super easy. Like, it's about as easy as he could possibly hope for. You know, obviously they've got a tough one. They've got a really tough one at Oregon, a pretty tough one at Michigan. Literally everything else on this schedule is winnable. I don't know if they're going to, like, they're obviously not going to win all of them, but there's two games that are like, okay, they'd have a very, very hard time winning those. And then everything else is in that realm of, if they're a lot better, yeah, they could win that. So, it sets up for UCLA to be pretty good. We'll see what the actual results are. But yeah, I think it sets up really nicely for him.
Yeah, I think even like Penn State with Matt Campbell coming in looks reasonable. You got to go on the road to Michigan.
There's no Penn State on the schedule.
I'm sorry?
There's no Penn State on the schedule. What are you looking at?
No, I'm saying for Penn State.
Thought you were still talking about UCLA. Okay, go ahead.
No, this is a Big Ten podcast, David. We talk about
talking about Kenny Chesney, and then you just started randomly talking about being on the road at Penn State.
The next team we're talking about.
Boy, howdy.
You got to go to Washington. So he has some interesting ones. For Indiana, where do they got? They got a road trip to Michigan. Mm-hmm. They got a road trip to Washington also. Going to Nebraska, but it looks like a reason.
Indiana looks like 10-2 at minimum to me.
I mean, yeah, like even if they take a step back.
They're going to start the year 6-0.
Yeah. Iowa's a little tougher. They got on the road at Michigan, Ohio State, on the road at Washington, back-to-back. Like that's a tough little slate. Then, you know, after their bye week, things kind of settle in. But that's a rough one. If you can get through that somewhat unfazed. Michigan's got Oklahoma at home, so there's a tough one there. They got an Iowa game at home. They're on the road at Oregon and on the road at Ohio State. So
They have to play Indiana.
Oh yeah, there's the national champion thing going on there. Any other sort of people in the chat?
Pat Fitzgerald's screwed. Michigan State's going to be really bad again. They got to go on the road at Notre Dame. They've got to go on the road. It's a Michigan road game year. They got to play Oregon.
And Washington.
Yeah, it's they'll beat Toledo, they'll beat Eastern Michigan, and then could literally lose every single other game.
Purdue, from one win to two wins, they have Notre Dame at home. Like, that's probably not going to be good. They got Penn State on the road, Iowa on the road.
No one did Purdue any favors in the schedule.
No. Indiana's on the road. Like, can they get over? We'll have to do the over-unders and stuff later. With the Ducks, where are the Duckies at? They got on the road at USC to start their conference play, host UCLA, Nebraska, on the road at Illinois. They got a road game, Ohio State, home Michigan, on the road at Michigan State, and then home Washington. I mean, there's definitely... You got to have your ducks in a row here, you know?
Oregon's looks like, a two or three game season maybe to me.
There's a few in there that could give you some trouble.
Sure.
It depends if you turn like a juggernaut or not. Did you already said Pat Fitzgerald?
Whoa.
What?
Look at our thing.
What thing?
Look at our chat.
Oh, what?
Wow, Colt.
Hold on a second. We got to pull out of this for one second. This is a
super duper chat.
And then what is going on here, Colt?
Colt is the man. Colt, thank you so much.
What is going on?
Wow. All right. We got to read
this. That's a record. I've never seen that.
Is that
a mistake? Is that a typo?
Is that a typo? No. He's got the math and everything. 43.6 West Texas Mikes, what my lowly Bruins managed in 2025 for the most mediocre Big Ten football podcast around. Stuck in a work meeting, but catching up soon. Ryan and Dave, share your juiciest USC and UCLA tidbits from 2022. Remington Steele says hi and reminds you to keep it mediocre.
Wow.
Thank you, Colt.
Yeah, thanks so much, Colt. And thanks, Remington. Sorry you're not going to go to college now, but your dad just really loves this mediocre podcast. So.
Yeah. Do you know what that would turn into by the time that kid's in college? Inflation rates.
Yeah.
You're talking millions of dollars, just, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not a math guy.
Put in the S&P 500 today and
look, ooh. Compounding interest, man.
You know the words.
I know the words. I know what they mean.
Nice. So what was 2022?
2022 was, that was Dorian Thompson Robinson's big year at UCLA. They went 9-3, I think.
Okay. So big year.
What else happened in 2022?
Let me see.
I think, was it Clay Helton's last year?
Oh, was that,
or was Clay Helton in 2023?
They were second in the Pac-12 that year.
Oh, no, that was Lincoln Riley's first year.
Yeah. Oh, that was the 11-3 year. Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think of what year. Yes. So they lost in the Cotton Bowl that year.
Yep.
But didn't, yeah, they, and, yeah.
Asking us to remember
Caleb
things.
Williams. Yeah, no, that's Caleb Williams winning the Heisman Trophy. What was the game, the USC-UCLA game that year? That was
the really tough one that I think Dorian Thompson-Robinson threw a pick towards the end of it, but it was 48-45. It was a really fun game, kind of up and down.
Yes, 48-45. That was, and I was like trying to get down from the press box to the field at the time, and who am I blank on? Some guy that never made a play. I'm blank on his name, made the interception.
It was like the defensive end. He was like sitting on a thing and like, I don't know, he was like dropping into coverage and he was like sitting on the little out route.
Yeah. He didn't really make a play at all. He was highly ranked and I'm blanking on his name. Someone in the chat will get me. But that was like the biggest play and maybe like the only big play of his USC career. And that one big one.
Pretty amazing.
Why would he want to bring that year up if he's giving us all this money? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Is it bad that I couldn't recall 2022 was like right off the top of my head? It's like, oh, yeah. But UCLA was pretty good that year, too.
UCLA was 9-3.
Yeah.
I mean.
Corey Foreman. Yes. Thank you, Scott.
Corey
Foreman, former five-star.
The great one.
Yeah. He just didn't do much at all. And then, but he had that huge play while I was trying to get from the press box through that tunnel with masses of people out to the field. So,
what a man. What a man, Colt. Thank you so much.
That's amazing, Colt. We appreciate it very much. Before we move on, anything else on the schedule that stands out to you? Ohio State. They host Oregon. They host Michigan. They're on the road at Indiana, on the road at Iowa, on the road at the Texas Longhorns, on the road at USC. That's not, I mean, not an easy one.
Nebraska, I kind of think they're just stuck in like 7-5 purgatory forever.
Yeah.
That's what that schedule looks like to me. They got Indiana at home, Oregon on the road. They got to play Washington, got Illinois on the road, got Ohio State, got Iowa on the road. Like, just, eh.
Yeah.
Minnesota, maybe that's a, you know, a decent schedule.
They have Mississippi State, so like a SEC team, the suckiest one.
Yeah.
On the road at Washington, start schedule, the conference play. On the road at Indiana.
On the road at Penn State.
On the road at Wisconsin. Way to pick out a good one. they got UCLA. They got Northwestern at home, Iowa at home, Michigan at home. Yeah, I mean, that's PJ Fleck will have his hands full.
I think bowl team again-ish.
I think so. They've consistently won.
All right, does Maryland set up for a September Maryland?
Oh, like start off strong and then just...
They do have to play on the road at UConn, it looks like.
At Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech and UCLA at home, both teams with new coaches. You won't know what you're getting, but there is a real cutoff. So they'll go 4 weeks. I think they have a chance of winning all four of those, maybe. But then they go at Nebraska, at Ohio State. So September Maryland will end rather quickly.
Yes.
As and always.
But after that, not bad. I mean, Penn State's at home, USC on the road.
Yeah, but it's Mike Loxley. They'll be 6-6-ish.
They'll probably go something like that. Some back-to-back like road games. So Indiana has Rutgers and Nebraska back-to-back on the road. Let me see what else. And there was a couple others, I think, that aren't always easy. Nebraska has Illinois and Rutgers back-to-back. Northwestern has Ohio State and Minnesota back-to-back road games. I don't think the West Coast schools, I don't think they're doing that to the West Coast schools at all, because that's a little bit too much. I think that was it. Wisconsin has back-to-back Maryland and Purdue road games. So not a whole lot of that. There's some schools that have better, like, you know, teams that have extra rest or with the bye weeks that you're playing and stuff. But I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got a good, you know, at least we know what's going on in Big Ten schedule. We had baseball. He said UCLA broke Maryland last year.
Yeah.
So that was the wrong one I put up there. That was the super chat again. I put the super chat up twice. That means it became... $436. Just kidding.
True.
That'd be cool if we could do that. And then Kyle says, Washington broke Maryland last year. Maryland was unbeaten and then had Washington down 20-3 in the second half. Yeah, that was an epic collapse. That was a really bad collapse. And then Matt says his Badgers got a more favorable draw. Yeah, that was one of the first things I said, just because we remember last year, Wisconsin had this horrible, horrible draw. And then this year, much, much more reasonable. All right. Well, we're going to do this at some point, David. Your over-unders for the season. I mean, if the podcast continues, right? If we keep doing this.
Correct.
Right. Do we know? We don't know.
We don't know.
It's better for you to keep you guys on your toes. We're not sure.
Correct.
No, mostly because we don't know either, but we assume we're going to keep doing it, but... this is just a ploy to get John to send us more Trader Joe's gift cards.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we did our over-unders for all the teams and the Big Ten, and we were bad at the top three, and then it sort of was mixed. You were the best at the bottom. You were 4-0 in the bottom four teams that we have.
I know my shitty teams. There.
I was better in like the middle. But you want to start from the bottom or the top?
Start from the top.
Let's start from the top. Ohio State, defending national champions, with over under 10.5 wins. They actually won 12 games. They went 12-0.
And we both went under on this. I think we were both thinking they would take a step back with, like, you know, losing starting quarterback, losing a fair amount of talent, losing some of their coaching staff, and they didn't. They were dominant for most of the year.
Yeah, they were really, really good and only lost to Indiana in the championship game. Well, then they lost in the playoffs and stuff too.
Yep.
This one where, now to be fair, the trendy pick was Penn State over. You know, 10.5, yep. They had everybody coming back. Michigan won the year before with everyone coming back. Ohio State won, 2 years before. Then Ohio State won with everybody coming back. You're like, Penn State, they got everybody coming back. Let's go over 10.5. Maybe our worst pick because they were far, far under.
They were so ass.
6 games. And that was by coming alive late in the season to get the 6 wins.
You actually have one that I think is worse, but this was probably my worst.
Okay.
Yeah, awful, awful. Penn State, UCLA, they had a lot to do with this. A lot to do with derailing Penn State season.
I guess we could do these too, right?
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
We were wrong on that.
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr. We were wrong on that. We were also wrong on...
Oregon Ducks.
Also 10.5. And we both put under, and they were over 11-1. They only lost Indiana.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get that right.
Yeah. That one I don't feel too bad about.
No.
We were under by half a game.
Yeah, that's okay. Let's go to...
Michigan Wolverines.
Wow, scratch, 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 scratch.
I think this is one where we literally did the count through and we came up with 9. So Michigan, they're 8.5. They were at 8.5. We both went over and they went over by half a game.
Yeah, so pretty cool.
This is my pick for your worst pick.
It has to be.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey folks, I'm from Indiana.
8.5 was the over-under, and Ryan Abraham
said
went
under.
Under.
I thought they'd be like 8-4, not 16-0.
I went over, and they went over by 3.5.
Yeah, so you got that one. Numbers-wise, it wasn't as bad, but it was bad. All right, there's another one we both got correct.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
Yeah, and this is another one where I think we, again, just kind of went through it and we're like, no, that looks like 8 to me, not 7.
Yeah.
And so they were at 7.5. They went 8. We both went over.
Yeah. This one, we didn't do so well.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
I feel like we need to pair the next two, Iowa and Nebraska.
Okay, we'll do it together.
Yeah.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
They were both 7.5. We went under on Iowa, and we went over on Nebraska. And I think we just need to, in the future, remember, neither of us understand Iowa, and neither of us fully understand Nebraska.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter how much talent Nebraska has. They're going to win no more than 7 games. It doesn't matter how much talent we perceive Iowa to have, or how bad of a coach we perceive Kirk Ferentz to be. They're going to win at least 8 games.
Yes.
Okay?
Maybe we should keep that in mind this year.
Just remember that.
Yeah.
All right? Because that's exactly what they did.
All right. You tried to double up on this one
with
the previous year when USC fell on their face.
USC Trojans.
What upsets me about this one at 7.5 is that they were so close to doing it. Like, there were a couple of games in there where they really could have done this. Like, I'm thinking Iowa at home. Like, what were they down in that game? 17 points, something? They were down a lot.
I don't think they were down 17.
Weren't they down a lot in that game?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm asking people to remember stuff right now.
Yes.
They were down 11 at halftime. Iowa had a bunch of momentum. Then, went away. They were down. Weren't they down to Northwestern at home at one point?
I don't know. They
were so close. They were so close to greatness. But alas, they went over. But I think my point is spiritually, I was correct. Anyway, moving on.
I mean, they're also like beating Oregon in the third quarter. And
but nobody expected that one to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
All right.
Ryan went over, I went under, and they obviously went over.
Oh, got it right. Let's go to
Washington Huskies.
Yeah, I don't know. It says 7.5 was the over-under. I could have sworn they went 7-5, but they didn't. They actually went 8-4, sadly.
Oh.
So we both picked under. They went over. Yeah, Washington. What's so weird, I found them oddly disappointing this year, but they still went over on the over-under.
Yes, because the bar was very low.
Yeah.
I thought I'd put this in there wrong. No, but they were 8-4, right?
Yeah, I was being goofy.
Okay. Let's go to
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
6.5 was the over-under. We both took the over, and they went over.
Seven.
Seven wins, baby.
PJ Fleck. Love it. This is my streak. I have like a 4-game winning streak going here. So let's do it.
Wisconsin Badgers.
For all the surprise about Wisconsin being super ass this year, you know who wasn't surprised?
Us.
The makers of this podcast. 5.5 was the over-under, and we both slammed that under so hard, and they ended up under.
Yeah.
4 wins on the season for Wisconsin.
That was comfortable. I think we were both comfortable about that one coming in. They had the tough schedule and stuff, too, so we kind of knew that. Let's go to
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
5.5 was the over-under. I was banking on Jonathan Smith having the Jonathan Smith effect on them, and boy did he, but not in a great way. They won 4 games. I took over. You took under. You got this one.
Yeah, I felt pretty good about this one. Just didn't think it was going to work, and it obviously did not. There's a little Homer stuff going on here.
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
Boy, this is one of my worst picks.
Yes.
UCLA 5.5 was the over under. Actually, that's a bad pick from Vegas. What are you doing setting that at 5.5, buddies? I took the over because I'm crazy. Ryan took the under. They finished at 3-9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard when you fire a coach and stuff to go over.
They got better when the coach got fired.
They did get better.
Yeah.
To get to the 3 wins there.
Correct.
All right. Let's go to
Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
And here becomes my grand streak.
Did this even happen, by the way? I don't even know what's going on. Like it was 5.5, 5. Like, is this, did these games even get played? I don't even know.
I don't know. I can't remember watching a minute of Rutgers football this year. But anyway, 5.5 was the win total. Ryan went over. I went under. And they finished at 5-7, baby. Rutgers.
I thought they'd go bowling. David said no.
Notch a win for me, baby.
Yeah. This is your streak going here. Let's go to
Maryland Terrapins.
We knew Maryland was going to be ass. They were 4.5 was the over-under. We both went under, and they finished at 4-8. So we got that one, too.
Yay for us. How about
Northwestern Wildcats?
One thing we've learned in our time in this stupid league is also to probably overestimate Northwestern. Not for reasons that anyone can explain, just for reasons. They had an over-under of 3.5 wins. We both went over, and they finished with 6.
Yeah. This was a great over for us.
That was a great pick for us.
It's hard to go under that. Like, because their schedule, I don't think, was... And they had the weird temporary deal, whatever, but... All right. And then the last one.
And then my boldest pick.
Yes, which you got right. I got wrong.
Purdue Boilermakers.
2.5 was the over-under. Ryan, thinking Purdue has hope and dreams, went over. I, knowing the truth of Purdue, went under. And what did they finish with?
2.5.
2 wins, baby. 2-10 Purdue. So if you guys were keeping track at home, what that means is that we both went 9-9.
As meh as it gets.
As meh as it gets.
Yeah. Kyle says 5-7 for Rutgers and a big ass financial mess. Yes. They're not doing this.
No.
They're in the opposite of whatever that is. I don't know. They're in a lot of pain there, but yeah, that's all right. Like, you know, when it's like 5.5 to 5 or whatever, it's the one like my Indiana one or like USC, like when it's like multiple games above or below what the Vegas thing is and you get it wrong, that's the one, that's what hurts more. When if it's like, if it's a half a game, it's a half a game. You're like, okay, whatever. But when you're off by a whole bunch, you're like, okay, we didn't expect that. Yeah, good stuff. All right. Why don't we do this? Let's take a break. We'll come back and do some questions, David. Are you good with that?
I am.
All right. Back in a minute, everyone. Friday, we're back here on the podcast of Champions. Maybe the last show ever. We don't know.
Possibly.
It's like LeBron James every time he goes to a different stadium, you know, an arena.
You never know.
Might be the last time playing at Madison Square Garden the other night. This might be the last show we ever, ever do. Probably not, but, you know, we'll see. Questions. We did have one in the chat. Let me pull that up.
Pull it up.
Rank the Big Ten coaching hires. I think assuming head coaches.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
All right. So let's Big Ten. Let's make sure we're not forgetting anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to put Pat Fitzgerald first?
All right. Starting from the bottom, Purdue did not hire anyone, right?
No.
Michigan State, they hired Pat Fitzgerald. Let's start him bottom.
Okay.
Okay. Maryland didn't hire anybody. Wisconsin didn't hire anybody. Rutgers didn't hire anybody.
Yeah.
UCLA hired Bob Chesney. All right. So we've got Bob Chesney above Pat Fitzgerald.
I think that's fair. Yes.
Penn State hired Matt Campbell. Where are we putting him vis-a-vis Bob Chesney?
I think above.
Above? All right. Yeah. Matt Campbell, Bob Chesney.
Just a more proven track record.
Matt Campbell, Bob Chesney, Pat Fitzgerald. All right.
Okay.
Northwestern, they didn't hire anybody.
No.
Nebraska didn't hire anybody. Washington didn't hire anybody. Minnesota didn't hire anybody. Illinois didn't hire anybody. Iowa didn't hire anybody. USC didn't hire anybody. Michigan, Kyle Whittingham. Where are we putting him vis-a-vis Matt Campbell, Bob Chesney? Is he in between?
I think
he... Is he above Matt Campbell?
I think he's got to be number one.
All right. Whittingham, Campbell, Chesney.
Just because we covered him in the POC before.
Yeah. Whittingham, Campbell, Chesney, Pat Fitzgerald. All right, Oregon didn't hire anybody. Ohio State didn't hire anybody. Indiana didn't hire anybody.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Those are the four. There you go. I'll put it up on the screen for you, David.
Please do.
You love that. All right, so we ranked the hires there. Let's see. We got some emails. Where was the first one?
Let's see.
I think we did Surviving Cignetti, right? Like that was the Bloodsport one. Did we do that?
Yes.
Okay. An actual question from Frank in Sacramento. Even Bud, he's talking about Bud Elliott from Cover 3 podcast, admitted that Indiana broke the blue chip ratio. Has the killer coach turned that old saying on its head? It's not the Jimmys and Joes. It's the X's and O's from Frank. I think it's still the X's and O's. I think it's still the Jimmys and Joes. X's and O's help. But it's a different way to do it. It's a different way to bring in. Before, you had to recruit 4- and 5-star talent, bring them through your system. Now you can get guys that, even though they weren't 4- and 5-star talent, you figure out that they were underrated in high school and they're productive in college and you can bring them on your team.
Yeah, what I would say is what it's done is it's kind of changed the way I've been thinking about it is it's kind of changed what you need to actually build a successful program before the transfer portal, before the NIL stuff. Because I think what it is it's kind of a new model that can be possible, but you still need the fundamental thing that you still need. The number one thing is the right coach. And so what Indiana did is they hired the right coach. I think the other piece of the model is, you can do it in this way where you attack the transfer portal and you evaluate the crap out of it and you get all the right guys in and you develop and all that kind of stuff. It's that path, though, requires pretty much perfect evaluation. And so, it's available to you because you no longer need the stuff that like comes with high school rankings, like the program tradition, all the stuff that like went into building a, you know, sustainable long term elite program. Because I think what it is that the blue chip ratio was kind of shorthand for essentially being an elite talent acquisition program or being in an elite talent development program or whatever you want to call it. But the reality is now that you can just go get a lot of production in the transfer portal, but you have to be good about it. Like, this guy who produced a lot at the FCS level might not be very good at the P4 level, yeah. Whereas that guy who produced a lot at the FCS level could be very good at the P4 level, and that's where it comes into like all the evaluation and scouting stuff that Cignetti clearly excels at.
Yeah. I mean, the Jimmys and Joes still matter a lot. It's just the way you acquire them is a lot different than it was before. And the only snapshot we had of if a player was good or not was coming out of high school, and that was a 4- and 5-star guys. Well, you know, we've seen like a lot of the first round draft picks that are left tackles were like 250 pounds in high school, and then they develop into studs. So yeah, I think I would say it's not just X's and O's. It's, and even with like Cignetti, like that X's and O's are important, but it's really about the culture and being the CEO of a program like that. So, all right. Let's see. Oh, what's the next one? Oh, we have a text message.
Yes, text message from Oxnard Steve. You want me to read this one?
Sure.
All right. Ryan and David, in regards to lightening your workload while continuing the POC for all of us devoted listeners, perhaps you could have regular-ish correspondents who represent their Big Ten school program. They could submit a 5-minute preseason report in the summer and then submit 2-minute updates during the season. Not all programs will have a correspondent, and not all correspondents will submit every week, so it would not be 16 reports every week. And of course, encouraging our, quote, resident Rutgers friend / ACC correspondent to submit as frequently as he desires is always a good thing, hoping that you'll keep it mediocre for years to come.
So one of the things you go against, like one of our top principles, Oxnard Steve, is adding more work. Like, that's tough to do. To get people to contribute like that, it's tough. We used to do it. Remember when the POC, when we were the Pac-12, like trying to get everyone to submit their like spring update voicemail.
Oh yeah, tons of fun.
That was 10 people outside of us, and that was a pain in the ass. This would be 60. Like, that's tough. I don't know. We could do something like that though, Oxnard Steve. I like it. I like getting like kind of updates, and maybe it's more newsy if something big's going on with Illinois or whatever, or you know, one of the other programs.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think,
David? We could try it. It's worth a try.
Yeah. I think so. All right. Let's see what else we got here. I don't know if this one's readable. Boat Wagon. Really enjoy the pod. Great work. I also get a lot of joy following the Golden Gophers. Hasn't Minnesota been through enough without having our team regularly slighted on the POC? Maybe throw us a little love now and then from Boat Wagon. I responded. I'm like, I wasn't sure what slight it was, but Fleck is like, Minnesota keeps winning bowl games. I think we've said some positive things about the Gophers and PJ. Like, they just keep, they do better than expected, like every year, it seems like. We both had over. We both picked over.
We did both pick over. There's that.
But do are there specific slights?
I think I've thrown them into the bucket of Big Ten teams that I hate to watch.
Okay.
But is that a slight? I don't know.
It's a little bit of a
slight. I mean, maybe it's a little bit of a slight.
I had a great time. So I have like good friends that are from college that are from Minnesota. So like when USC played Minnesota 2 years ago, went and had a really good time. The people were super nice. It's great. I had a good time. Like, I try to be good for that.
All right. This is from West Texas Mike.
Okay.
The education of Professor Woods. No. I'd just like to clarify that Professor Woods' overview of his course syllabus last week was no disappointment. I didn't give the professor a true subject to drill down on because our new Lord and Savior, Kurt Cignetti, was on the brink of the unthinkable. Far be it from me to pull a Mick Cronin in that moment on the eve and afterglow of Cignetti's miraculous achievements. I just wanted to use my letter to underscore the Podcast of Champions' proud legacy of providing historical context for contemporary events. Speaking of Coach Cignetti, now that he has done the impossible, I would like for at least the next year to close all correspondence with the salutation and salute, Cignetti Kills. And that's kills, I should say, in the NCAA-sanctioned mano-a-mano contest of wits and physical ability between the white lines kinds of kills. Not the Gestapo-like, jackbooted thug paramilitary shoot you in the back while protecting the innocent in the streets of America kind of kills. West Texas Mike.
From Vegas. He knows the score. He gets the women. Signetti kills.
Nice.
Beautiful email.
We have this one. Hold on.
He knows the score. He knows geography. Foster kills.
We had to retire that one. That sucks. I forgot we even had that one.
I know. It was so good.
You want the long one? Over here.
God has mercy.
Signetti.
Don't.
Signetti kills.
And then this is the long one.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse. He knows the score. He gets the women. And he kills the bad guys. Signetti. Signetti kills.
Yeah. Speaking of Signetti killing, we got a question from Ethan in our nation's capital. Do you know where that is, David?
I believe that is Washington, D.C.
Ding, ding, ding. I knew you were smart. How much is a coach worth? That's questions. Fellas, two questions for the pod. One, how many wins would you say a coach is worth? It's obviously not just having the Jimmys and Joes, but what percentage is taken and what is coaching? If you look at UCLA this past year, one could argue that coaching was worth 3 wins as that team was heading directly for 0-12 until Foster and company were fired.
Ethan, you're killing us because taken, I believe, was supposed to be talent. You're killing us. The typo here. What percentage is talent and what is coaching?
Okay.
If you look at UCLA this past year, one could argue the coaching was worth 3 wins as that team was headed directly to... It really depends. I'm a big believer that yes, there is a difference between the most talented team in P4 and the least talented team in P4, and it is substantial, but it's probably not as great as you think. I do think I don't believe in this idea of like a player is predestined to be whatever they will end up being. Just because, who's going to go number one in the draft? Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
Just because he's now going to be like a top five pick in the NFL draft does not mean that coming out of Cal, he was going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft. Can we agree with that?
100%. Yeah.
If he had stayed at Cal another year and played another year of football at Cal, he may not have been a top five pick. This idea that like talent is immutable and cannot be changed and there's this perfect evaluation process and all this kind of stuff, it's all horseshit. Like the reality is that first, talent can be changed. Guys get better. And a big part of them getting better is being in the right system with the right coaches and in that whole thing. So I guess my point is you give this exact collection of UCLA talent to Kurt Signetti. He's not winning 3 games with them.
No.
They're winning quite a few more. They're probably not going 16-0, but they're probably winning like 6 games, 7 games, something like that, because coaching really, really, really matters. So when you say like this proves that coaching was worth 3 wins, yeah. I mean, I think Tim Skipper was, better than Coach Foster and company. I do think, Deshaun Foster even would have lucked into a win at some point there in the 12-game season. But yeah.
Our dream of 0-12 was probably not going to happen.
But does that mean like Tim Skipper was like the best possible coach that they could have gotten? Because that's what 3 wins is equal to coaching would mean. No, because I think the reality is if you put Kurt Signetti in 3 games into the year, they might finish... still 6-6. They might finish, 5-7 or something. So, anyway, you need talent. You need to develop talent. You need to evaluate talent. But, like, the most important thing in college football is, and for my money, always has been coaching.
And, I mean, a big part of coaching is talent acquisition and evaluation and all that, too. And with the sport that we cover, like, the quarterback is such an important factor in all of this where – Did we think Fernando Mendoza, especially after the Old Dominion game, I didn't think Indiana was going to be that good. He was special, and that changed. It changed the fortunes from like a really good playoff team to a national championship team, and that's the situation you're in. You could see talent at even with bad coaching. You're a great quarterback. If you put Josh Allen on a terrible organization, like he would still stand out. But I mean, look at the Super Bowl. Sam Darnold goes to the Jets, number 3 overall pick, and looked like the biggest bust. It's just, he's terrible. He's terrible. Goes to Carolina, gets benched with Matt Rhule, and then ends up with Kyle Shanahan, who gives him a you know, vote of confidence and has like a Pro Bowl type of year in Minnesota last year. And their GM lets him go. He gets fired and he goes to Seattle and on the verge of winning a Super Bowl. So it's, you got to be in the right situation. And that's coaching, you know, like, and, you know, organization. It's not just the head coach. It's like, how well is this, you know, in the NFL, you want to have a good GM, a good owner, and all that stuff. Like, the Jets are terrible, all that stuff. Why does every quarterback go there suck? Because it's the organization. Cignetti, you could put a lot of different quarterbacks with, and I think they would have a whole bunch of success. But if you put like an elite, a guy with elite talent, like we've seen with Mendoza, then both sides can shine. So it's really important. But
yep.
Okay. Was this?
Oh, there was the second question.
Second part, two for Dave. I saw that Mark Cuban was at the Indiana versus UCLA basketball game wearing a UCLA dad T-shirt. His daughter is an undergrad. Have you heard anything about Cuban potentially supporting UCLA's NIL efforts? Thanks and keep it mediocre, Ethan in D.C.
I've heard nothing to that effect. And I would have to imagine for him that wouldn't make a ton of sense for football or men's basketball. I think his daughter may be an athlete, like maybe on the crew team.
Oh.
So maybe he would support that. I don't know. But, I mean, it's... It'd be one thing if like UCLA and Indiana were not in the same conference, but he's a huge Indiana booster.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess maybe they could try to finagle it in some way, kind of like the Phil Knight also supports Stanford and Oregon State.
But like, that was his like connection. It wasn't like his
kids,
right? Yeah,
it was like personal connection. So I don't know.
I think for like Larry Ellison, like he supports Michigan because his wife is a big
deal. I guess my
deal.
Point is I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
I mean, UCLA would be stupid not to ask, but I haven't heard it.
Well, UCLA's great with money, right? Aren't they really good with that stuff?
They're getting better, all right? They're getting better.
We had one in baseball, Brock. Explain how a coach at a group of six program who succeeds has to do much more evaluations than a coach who's only been at a power four school.
Oh, I mean, it's 100% true. You have
to do more with less stuff, right?
You got to do more with less. You've got to learn the ropes and learn what actually works and what actually doesn't. You know, the star system works as a proxy for what we're talking about. And the thing is, the star system is unproven as it pertains to transfer portal rankings. I would say I'm immensely skeptical that anyone can appropriately evaluate everybody who comes into the portal every year. The thing with high school recruiting rankings is you're evaluating them literally from, in a lot of cases, like eighth or ninth grade for 4 years. And you're, you know, you see them all at camps starting at a very young age. So you legitimately can correctly rank probably 1,000+ kids, and then the rest get kind of thrown in, and there are some outliers and all kind of stuff, but you can correctly rank them and know what they're going to be. Transfers, you can't. And so you have to look and see, okay, if you're a coach, you're not basing it off of rankings at all when you're looking at transfers. What you're basing it off of is what you have to rely on, which are your own evaluation skills. And I think it's interesting that Kurt Cignetti clearly did a great job there. And where did he come up through? A lot of, you know, FCS, you know, and below programs.
Yeah.
And I think at that level, because you're not relying on recruiting rankings, because no one is ranking those guys.
Right.
So you have to look at things like, okay, what is their body type? You have to do all the scouting stuff that is, I think, at the major programs, essentially almost outsourced to recruiting rankings. Or it's kind of this symbiotic thing where, you know, back and forth, but you've got like this whole staff who's doing this stuff for you, and you've got the recruiting rankings to rely on as well to kind of verify what you're doing. But like when you're recruiting to IUPUI or you're recruiting to Holy Cross or one of these schools, you got to do it all yourself. And if you don't nail it, you're not going to have a good team.
Yeah.
So very much a more difficult thing, but I think it's also a better building block for your coaching career, particularly when you do have to attack the transfer portal. And it's not as simple as, hey, all these guys were four stars out of high school, so they probably are still good, right? Well, they're in the transfer portal for a reason.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out why. So it's definitely a good skill set to have. And I think, you know, the G6 and so on coaches have it a little bit better than the P4 ones.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's all we got.
That's all we have.
We do need to do like a little screenshot. Should we do like we were 9-9? We could put up nine fingers. We could do like a meh. Like, I don't know. What do you feel like?
Whatever you want.
Let's do nine.
Nine. We're doing it like this?
Yeah. I don't know if I could do it. I'll have to back up. I can't. I'm like losing thumbs. Okay. Good enough. Well, that's going to wrap it up for David Woods, who was 9-9 on his preseason predictions, and Ryan Abraham, who was a much better 9-9 on his preseason. They're exactly the same. We are done. Maybe forever. Probably not.
Probably not.
But I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.